For a long time I've traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and then I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out that he would bring me out through his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out, show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Like a bird out of prison that has taken his flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar has found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out that he would bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out. Show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found he would bring me out, show me the way. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad I found out that he would bring me out by his saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. Glad that I found out he would bring me out, show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way.
invite the Holy Ghost to take every word of this message and just write it on our hearts. Write it on our minds. May it make us stronger than we've ever been in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. May our lives become richer in the sweet grace of His righteousness. The book of St. John. The book of St. John, will go to chapter 5 and begin with verse 43. And we'll move a few verses along for several verses of scripture that I pray will have an effect upon your life in a marvelous fashion. The book of St. John, chapter 5, verse 43. Let me tell you what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach on the miracle of the great I am. The miracle, or we could say miracles, but the miracle of the great I am. We were sitting here in the sanctuary on Monday or Tuesday morning, I'm not sure which now, and I began to, after some long time of prayer, I began to read the book of St. John. Really, I memorized it many years ago, but I still like to read it in the Bible and not just repeat it. As I was repeating John chapter 1 and the person of whom Jesus is. And I got down later on to a verse that said, I am. For Jesus said, I am. You know, He said first, I am the bread of life. Then He said, I am the light of the world. Then He said, I am the door. Then He said, I am the shepherd. Then He said, I am the resurrection. Then He said, I am the way. Then He said, I am the vine. Seven specific things Jesus said He was in the book of John. Well, that's not the only seven times that He said, I am in the book of John. Brother Dylan, I discovered He said that 50 times in that one book. 50 times in the book of St. John, Jesus said, I am. 50 times. I am. Now, when you think of the term I am, you have to understand that's one of the greatest terms for the name of God in the whole of the Bible. One of the greatest. He taught that to Moses by saying, I am that I am. That was the name that God gave to Moses. John 5 and 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Notice He said, I am come in my Father's name. Then He said in John 6 and 35, John 6 and 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Notice that, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Oh, did you hear that? He that cometh to me, notice that word cometh, has an ETH. That means He comes continuously. He don't just come one time. He keeps coming. So Jesus said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. You know why Christians get hungry? Because for something, I'm not talking about food now, but spiritual things, is because they're not feeding. They're not coming to Him. He says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Wow. Did you hear that statement? Would you make sure you get that? He that cometh, continuously comes, continuously follows after the Lord, seeks the Lord, he shall never hunger, and he shall never thirst. The Jews then murmured at Him, because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. The Jews murmured, they growled, they found fault with Him, because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Then in John chapter 6:45, He said, I am that bread of life. Notice he said that, T-H-A-T, emphasizing, I am that bread of life. I love that. Then in verse John 6 and 51, I am the living bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give to him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. For the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Father, open our hearts now to grasp this great term, I am. Especially, I am the bread of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, there is no name that can ever be used to speak of God or of Jesus that is more divine, that is more sovereign than when he says, I am. You think about how short that little term is. Three letters. I am. How short it is. You think about in the natural sense how almost unimportant it is. The world don't think of I am as something of great importance. People that keep saying I am are usually accused of being haughty and self-righteousness and bigger than their britches or some term that would suggest that they are bigger than they think they are, or they think they're bigger than they are. Well, Jesus said, I am. And when he said it, he was saying something beyond human grasp. He was saying, I am the eternal one. I am the sovereign one. I am the almighty one. I am the holy one. I am the everlasting one. I am the sufficient one. I am the redeeming one. I am the sacrificial one. I am the resurrected one. I mean, everything you can imagine that goes with the term of God and his nature is involved in that statement, I am. Oh, it's an awesome statement. I have thrilled with it all week. I mean, I have just literally flooded my soul with the joy of thinking about my Lord being the great I am. No one can be bigger or greater or more wonderful than a person as God who says I am. It just goes beyond all measure. It just reaches beyond all human words. What can you say? What can you say? You see, no one is greater than him. No one is even close to as great as him. He's the Son of God. He's the everlasting one. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's wonderful. He is wonderful. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like the moment when you suddenly realize who he is. The world don't understand who Jesus is. They have a little opinion. They have a little grasp of it. But it's very shallow and very empty. But when you really meet him, when you really meet him, Brother Rogers, when you really give your life to him, when suddenly he just comes in and kind of takes over the reign of your life and he becomes a master, he becomes the Lord, there is nothing sweeter. You see, down in Egypt, Moses had fled for his life when he realized he was a Jewish person and he didn't want to be part of those Egyptians and their evil way. And so he fled. And some years later, God appeared to him. And God was appearing to Moses because God was fixing to send Moses back down into Egypt. And Moses was going to have to go and stand in front of the monarch. There was no monarch of human existence greater than those pharaohs of Egypt. You didn't treat them with disrespect. You didn't make some curt remark at them. It was an awesome thing. And God's telling Moses, go down there and tell Pharaoh, you're going to take my children out. And I can imagine what Moses felt. Moses said, now God, you want me to go down there and tell him that he must let his children go. And there was probably 2 million of them at that time. And Moses is a bit frightened. And he said, God, you're going to have to tell me who I can tell him has sent me. If I don't go down to that Pharaoh, I'm going to look him in the face. I'm going to tell him what the God that I serve wants me to do. He's going to be thinking some evil things against me. And I need to have a name to give him that will scare him to death. Give me a name to tell him, Father. And so God said to Moses, you tell him I am that I am have sent you. Now think. You read the book of Genesis and Exodus, where this story is told, and you will see that Pharaoh did tremble at that name. Now, he didn't tremble as much as he had to tremble before it was over, but he started out with a bit of trembling. Who are you, Moses? See, they knew who Moses was. They knew that Moses had been raised in their courts, and here he was coming down to tell them, I'm going to take the children of Israel out of here. And Moses said, I got to have a name to give him. And so God said, you tell him, I am that I am, have sent you. Now, every time you hear the name I am, you ought to think of I am that I am. Because that gives it the level of greatness that God wanted that Pharaoh in Egypt to hear. It gives you that level of confidence that God wanted. God wanted Moses to feel. It gave him the assurance, hey, I'm not just talking about some wheezy little God back there in some hill somewhere. I'm talking about the God that is not just I am. He's the I am that I am. And I really like that term. I really like that term. I am that I am. Who are you, Joe Chambers? I'm a servant of the great I am that I am. What does that mean? It means I am behind him. He is before me. Everything he is, I possess it because I'm his servant. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. So you tell him that I am that I am has sent you. And Moses did as God said. Now, if you study this great I am throughout the Bible, it's in the scripture of 600, almost 700 times. Not every time does it speak of God, but many times it does. And it's a marvelous term, and I love it. Well, let's deal with just one of them, maybe two of them this morning. The first one is, he says, I am the bread of life. Now, if all you read is I am the bread of life, and you don't read in that term I am what it represents, then saying the bread of life doesn't mean a lot. But when you say, I am the bread of life, and not only did he say, I am the bread of life, he said, I'm the bread of life that came from heaven. If any man eats of me, he shall never hunger. If he drinks from this container in which I'm serving, he shall never thirst. Then a little later I read, he says, any man that eats this bread will live forever. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. When you take Christ into your life and he becomes the bread of your soul, you have an eternal power, an eternal life. You are possessed with eternal living. Hallelujah. You belong to him and you're his forever, and he'll never let you down. Woo! Hallelujah. So let's look at this term, I am the bread of life. Now, let's back up a little bit. I want you to think about what that bread is for. It's not for the stomach. It's not for the energy of the flesh. That bread he's talking about is an eternal substance. And the place in which it is destined for is the soul of a man. Not the physical of a man, but the soul of a man. So he was saying, I'm the bread of life to feed your soul. I'm the bread of life that will put eternal substance inside of you. I will take your soul, which shall live forever. I remember, I told the kids this Friday, I remember as a little boy on the farm, and Daddy loved the Grand Ole Opera. On Saturday nights, we usually were somewhere in the house all together, listening to the Grand Ole Opera. Well, I don't remember back then how bad it was or how good it was. I don't remember nothing, but I do remember one song. That song was where the soul never dies. That song was probably sung about every Saturday night. Because there was a spiritual substance, even to the worldly music that long ago. And it was a long time, you know. Would have been about 80 years, 76 maybe, 77. And they would sing, "Where the soul of man never dies." Well, Jesus came to satisfy the soul. He came to put something inside of you that's bigger than physical. That's bigger than fleshly. He came to give you a living substance. It's the soul food. The soul food. Now let's make sure we don't forget this and we take it home with us. If you're going to live a Christian life, you've got to have soul food. If you're going to live a Christian life and be of any value, you're going to have some substance that feeds the inner man. You're going to have something in there that you can't see with the human eye, but it's the food of life. It's the food of heaven. It's the food of Christ. He said, "I am the bread of life." Hallelujah. That's how we live. Hallelujah. I think of the joy that it is in serving the Lord. I love what Brother Rogers said to Brother Joe, I think it was last Sunday night. He said, "I watch y'all up there singing and you look so happy." Hallelujah. If you don't look happy, you're not a good testimony for Jesus. If you've always got an old frown on your face and you're always sad and gloomy looking and you're taking everything like it's the end of the road. No, no, no. I've got the bread of life living inside of me. I've got the bread of life. That's my everlasting supply. It can never give out. It can never vanish. I like the thought that the bread of life is such that it can never dissipate. It can never be less than it is right now. 1,000 people can eat from the bread of life and there's just as much left to when they started. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Danny? 1,000 people can eat from the bread of life and just as much left is when they started. It's a never-ending supply. Now, you got to get this and take it home with you. See, if you want to be a real Christian, you've got to become a happy Christian. And you're not going to be a happy Christian if you're not fed on the right kind of food. You know the difference between eating a good old meal and always having nothing but some crumbs? You know the difference. It makes a difference in how you feel. When you get a good meal, it makes the body feel better. Well, I want to tell you, this soul food will make your whole life feel better. It'll bring you joy. It'll bring you happiness. It'll do things inside of you that you can never forget. It's wonderful to eat of the bread of life. I wish we could get sinners to understand what they're missing. When you don't have Him, you don't have the bread of life. And there's no way to be a happy person. There's no way to be satisfied and complete. You're going to famish. I've studied through the years a lot of people who have come to know God. And I've read stories of people that would search in every religious place they could go. They'd try out Hinduism. And they'd try... Excuse me. They try out Confucianism. They try out the Muslim religion. They try out the Catholic Church. And they try all kinds of things. And all of a sudden one day, in their hunger and search, they found themselves at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. And it turned their life upside down. You've heard me tell this, some of you. But there was a man over in East Belmont who lived out there in the woods. And he was a drunkard. He had drank until he was a wreck. And he lived in the woods and had some kind of a makeshift quarters he lived in. And he would come out when the gophers would come. And he would push the caddy for them to get a few dollars to buy some food. And he lived there. And I don't know how many years he lived there. His name was Gene, but he lived there for many years. One day his sister came out to see him, concerned about her poor brother living in the woods. And he said to her, I've decided I would like to know God. I've decided I'd like to have some help. I don't want to live here the rest of my life. This is terrible living. And so she said, I know a minister, and I believe he'd take some interest in you. And so some later that day, or some day later, she called me on the phone and said, Brother Chambers, I've been hearing you on the radio, and I like what you're saying. I got a brother that lives over here in the woods, and he's a pitiful situation. He drinks, and he just lives in the soddy mess that he's lived in for years. And would you pray for him? And maybe would you go see him? I said, I sure would. Get him a phone and tell me when he's got it, and I'll call him. So I called him out in the woods. I said, Gene, your sister is weeping for you. You need to do something about your life. He says, I'm ready, Reverend Chambers. I'm ready. I said, tell me how to get to you. Oh, he says, no, I wouldn't let you come out here and find me in this squalor. I wouldn't let you come out here and see me like I look. You just tell me what to do, Reverend, and I'll do it. I said, okay, have you got a Bible? Oh, he said, my sister brought me a King James Bible. I said, here's what I want you to do, Gene. I want you to read that book, that Bible, book of St. John. Just one book, the book of St. John. You know where it is? Oh, he says, I know where St. John is. I said, don't read but one book. Read the First John all the way through and do it two or three times. And I want you to do it on your knees. I want you to get over there and on a stump or somewhere, wherever you can find a place, and get down on your knees and read the book of John. And I want you to pray one prayer. Gene, don't pray but one thing, just one little simple prayer. Say to God, I want to see Jesus. That's all I want you to say now, Gene. Don't you tell God a bunch of things. You don't try nothing, but just tell him you want to see Jesus. And he told me that after some days of reading John on his knees, all of a sudden, Jesus became real to him. And he said, I gave him my life, and I repented of my sins, and I turned to him, and God made a new man out of Gene. I'll never forget it as long as I live. There's nothing like being a soul winner, folks. It's a joy. And one day, the state overseer over here on the campgrounds had gone out to play golf on that particular golf range. And he saw this man, and he came out of the woods and pulled his caddy for him. And the state overseer tried to witness to him. He said, you're too late, sir. He said, a little preacher over at Paul Creek has told me what to do, and I've been saved, and I now belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. What a testimony he had. And the last I heard, he's still living for Jesus. Goes to the Four Square Church in East Belmont. I want to tell you something, folks. When you find Jesus, you get a look at him. It may be simple. It may be profound. It may be very basic. It doesn't matter. If you just get a vision of Jesus, and somehow he had read where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. And he found the bread of life out in those woods. Oh, God, help us to help people find the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Now, church, you got to hear me. It's imperative that once you find this bread, and I know these dear people are listening to me, once you find this bread, don't you ever quit eating it. Don't you ever quit going to your Bible and feeding on this Bible. That's what the Bible is for. It's the bread of life. The whole Bible is a reflection of Jesus, who is the bread of life. And so the Bible is the bread of life. And if you live in it continuously, you're going to grow and mature. So I'm convinced there's a multitude of Christians that never got past just the early stages of being a Christian. They never grew up. They never put on any stature. They never took any effort to become mature and usable to God. Oh, church, listen to me. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. We'll never be hungry again. Now, Jesus said something in John 10 that goes along with this. John 10 of the same book. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, if you are living on just a scrappings of the Bible, if you just been saved, And you kind of don't go any further. And you won't take your Bible and read it all week long. You ought to read that Bible every day. You ought to memorize scripture after scripture after scripture and get your... See, that Bible is Him. He is that Bible. And every verse is a plate of food. And every line is a blessing. And every place you read or hear or do what the Bible says, there's food for your soul. And you'll grow and you'll mature and you'll become a blessing. And God will use your life. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be a man who's full of the word, who's full of the bread. You'll become a giant of the faith by living in the food of the word. Let me say that again. You'll become a giant of the faith if you'll live in the food of the word. You got to live in it. You're not going to get big and healthy looking in the spirit I'm talking about if you don't live on that bread of life. Oh, it's so satisfying. It is so wonderful. I wish I could tell you how sweet it is to my soul. I wish I could make you so hungry for the bread of life that you would never be satisfied any day of your life unless you'd had some food that morning. I tell people you ought to start the day with prayer. Don't wait till night when the day is spent. Start it with God. Feed it on the Bible and feed it on the things of the Lord. It'll change your life. I said, it'll change your life. It's wonderful. Now, here's something you need to do. And you have to do it. You have to discipline yourself. How many of you are willing to discipline yourself a little bit? Let me see your hand. Come on, listen to me. Are you willing to discipline yourself? All right. You start today. Set aside a time every day of your life that you spend in that Bible and that you spend in prayer. And come to understand that prayer is the way that you eat. It's the way that you get spiritual substance. The Bible and prayer together will turn your life upside down. And you got to do it regular. And you got to do it consistently. And you got to quit being lazy about it. Young people, if you want to be a spiritual Christian, you got to live in that Bible. The reason many young people will get saved every revival is because they can't survive from one revival to the next because they don't feed in between times. If you feed every time regular, you're going to get spiritually strong. Oh, he said, I am the bread of life. I love that. I am the bread of life, and I'm eating on that bread. I'm enjoying that bread. Now, I'd like to go to the next one because the two together are dynamite. Then he said, I am the light of the world. I like that. Let me read to you. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Listen now. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Hallelujah, I am he. And Jesus said, for judgment I come into the world, that they which see may not see, and they which hear may hear. Hallelujah. He's the light of the world. Jesus said it. I am the light of the world. Listen now, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Have you ever studied? I heard something this week that I really loved. See, there's a magnetic energy. Electricity would be okay word to use. That wraps this whole earth. Every bit of this earth is wrapped in a magnetic electrical current. That's how your telephone works. That's how those lights come on. I mean, almost everything now is cordless. It passes through the electricity that fills the air. It really does. And so he's the light of the world. As the earth rotates around in the great stratosphere, the history says, the scientists say, it maintains a northern polarity. It never loses this connection between the North Pole and the North Sphere. And that's where Jesus is. He's the light of the world, and he sits at the Father's right hand. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is truly the light of the world. Everything subsists by him. Everything exists by him. He is the light of the world. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the light of the world. All you do is walking in darkness. But I heard something this week. Brother Joey Yates told me about it. He said during the Japanese war, when we was fighting the Germans, he said our ships had a tendency out there in the body of water to become magnetic. They would pick up electricity, and they would become magnetic, the ships. And said they would have to bring them into the shore every so often and demagnetize them. Because the Japanese learned that these ships out there in the ocean was becoming magnetic, so they would plant their bombs. They would plant their, what do they call them? Mines, I'm sorry. Their mines. The Japanese would plant mines full of all kinds of explosives, and their ships would become electrical, and they would draw these mines. And as soon as they hit the ship, they'd explode. And thousands of our boys died, went to death, because those ships was electrical. They became magnetic. Now, how does that happen? That happens because the world is covered in a magnetic blanket, and Jesus is the source of that magnetic blanket. So he is truly the light of the world. Are you listening to me? He is truly the light of the world. If it was possible, it isn't. If it was possible to put Jesus out, the world's lights would go off. And these lights wouldn't even work. But you see, it's not possible. He's the light of the world. Did you hear me? I said he's the light of the world. How about saying that with me? He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Now the Bible makes it plain that if you don't have the light of the Lord, you walk in darkness. I mean, the scriptures are plain. The Bible is full of scriptures that tell us the sinner that doesn't know Christ is walking in darkness. And you wonder why you are empty. You wonder why you don't enjoy life. You wonder why you're under such a burden and life is never very smooth. It's because you're walking in darkness. You're walking in darkness. Now, if you come to Jesus, he'll turn the light on. I don't know whether you ever remember, as much as I do, the song, I Saw the Light. I saw the light. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. It used to be when we got saved, they talk about that a lot. They talk about how you've seen the light, and now you understand the things of God, and you hunger for the things of the Lord. I remember how I fell into love with that, and I was always thinking about seeing him. Hallelujah. He's the light of the world. He is my light. I don't live in darkness. I live in the light. Do it the rest of your life. Don't let yourself quit walking in the light. Now, to add to that, it is the fact that you are now the light of the world. Are you listening to me? You are the light of the world. Do you know what causes sinners to come to Christ? It's because they meet somebody or they find somebody that's truly lit up in Christ. And after a period of time, they begin to want that same life. That apparently is what happened to Brother Roger. That happens to sinners. If we would get on fire until the light was beaming from us, until we were lit up with the light of Christ, if our faces shone the light of the Lord in all of its brilliance, you could be a soul winner. If you're not a soul winner, it's because sinners aren't seeing the light of the Lord in you. Amen? I want them to see the light of the Lord in me. Everywhere I go, I'm hungry for the light of the Lord to show and to see, and for sinners to see the light and to long for that light and to want that light. Oh, I'm telling you, when you learn the bread of life and the light of the world and you desire, you are going to begin to live. There's no source of life elsewhere. This world is becoming more and more a drag. It's a sick world. Think of Tyler Graber, who used to be right here in this church, full of the Holy Ghost. Think of him speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. I think I remember a time or two that he maybe gave a message in tongues. Not really sure, but I believe he did. And he had the light of the Lord. And one day, something happened, and he turned away from it. Couldn't get him to come back. I tried hard. I counseled him for weeks. Couldn't get him to turn around. And now he's insane. Will he ever come back? It depends on us. We can pray the prayer of faith until God gives them another chance. I'm praying for that. We've got a lady in the hospital who her mom and dad were part of this church all through these years. She's been here lots of times, been in the altar occasionally, but never followed through, never lived. Now she's unconscious. They're fixing to pull the plug, and she will either die or get better, and they don't know which it is. But her granddaughter says she's lost. We don't know. I stood over her the other day. And I said, listen to me, Doris. I said, I know you may not be hearing me, but you may be. And I'm going to take the chance that maybe you are. Now, let me talk to you about the blood. And I told her about the blood of Jesus. And she knew it all. She'd heard it many times. I said, listen to me, Doris. Right now, you need to pray in the name of Jesus by his blood to wash you from your sins. Will you pray with me? And she nodded her head. Now, I'm not going to tell you Doris got saved. But I'm going to tell you I gave her a chance to get saved. And if there was any consciousness in there that she could truly make a decision for Christ, she could do the same thing the thief on the cross did. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And if she did it and it was genuine, then I could say, praise God, maybe she's saved. I don't know that, but I want to tell you something. It's Jesus that can change your life. And there's really no other source. No other source. No other way. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Will you do that with me? Will you start today letting your light shine? Let me see your hand if you will. Will you start today letting your light shine? Will you let it shine everywhere you go? Keep it up there a little bit. Will you let it get a hold of you? Or will you feed on the bread of life and look in your Bible to the light of this world until you become so full of him and full of him? Woo! Hallelujah! What a blessing you can be! Every one of us, shall we stand? Hallelujah. Forgive me for this old stuff that's got in my chest and my head. I'm better, but I still have a hard time keeping my breath. But I want to tell you, Jesus is everything you need this morning. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation. I don't know who may be here unsaved. But don't let them leave here and spend eternity in a devil's hell. Father, I've never felt such a pain over hell as I have lately, as I've wept and wept and wept over sinners lost. And I'm believing you, God, to not let a sinner walk into this building without getting an invitation to turn to Christ. An invitation to turn to Christ. I want us to be an evangelistic church to the core. I want it to be a place where the sweet Holy Ghost is reaching for sinners. Is there anybody in this building? Brother Chambers, I'm lost. I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. Anybody? Anybody? Lost. You've not been saved. You've not been saved, right? You want to be saved. He wants to save you, lady. He wants to save you, lady. Is anybody else? I'm lost. I want to be saved. I'm lost. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Now, church, why don't you raise your hand and pray? We have one lady that said, yes, I'm lost. She wants to be saved. Would you come? Come to this altar quickly. This is the place to surrender your life. This is the place to repent of your sins. Thank you for being willing to quickly say, I'm lost. I want to be saved. Somebody, two ladies, come and stand beside her. Just walk right in front of that altar. And two ladies will stand beside you. They'll help you repent, dear lady. They'll help you repent. God bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else in this building? I want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. Oh, how many of you know that you know that you know you are saved? Let's see your hand. Hallelujah. All right, let's pray. Will you stretch your hand this way? Father, we pray for this dear lady that's come to Christ. I'm really ready to repent of my sins. Are you willing? Are you willing? Say it out to him big and strong. Lord, say it out strong and loud, will you, Lord? I repent of my sins. Can you say that? Lord, I repent of my sins. I'm turning from my sins. I'm tired of living a sinful life. I want to be a Christian. I'm believing Jesus right now to take me in his hands and love me and save me I'm his. I give him my life. Now these ladies are laying their hands on you and praying. I want everybody in this building to step to the front and let's gather around this altar and let's spend a little time praying. Lord, I want to be a light. Lord, I want to shine with the light of the Lord. I want to help others find Christ. I want to help others come to Jesus. Ladies, pray with her now. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Cry out to the Lord. Do it from your own heart. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to be his. I want to be his. Don't you? Raise your hand. Lord, I'm loving you this morning. Lord, I'm loving you this morning. I love you with all my heart. I want to be yours and nothing but yours and nothing but yours. Will you say that? You say that too later. I want to be the Lord's and nothing but the Lord's. And I'm going to be in his house regular. Woo, hallelujah.
The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Oh, I like that.
The righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be.